Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at PO Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. Again, we'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries, and we welcome you today. It's a great joy for us to be able to come into your home, your place of business, your office, wherever that you might be, to share the unsearchable riches of Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. We have a lot of things that are taking place in our world that are profusely as well as profoundly disturbing. It all evolves around one small word called time. Time. We've all heard the phrase, time is of essence. It's important. Lost time cannot be found again. Once time is gone, it's gone. Once you've squandered, once you've wasted that time, it cannot be recalled, it cannot be collected, but it is forever gone. And that's why as people of God, we need to be frugal, good stewards of our time. But regretfully, people today have time for everything but God. God is nothing more than a crutch. He's nothing more than a backsplash in the event something goes awry, something is skewed in someone's life. But that should not be so. But regretfully, it is a reality. Men fail to preach the Word of God today uncompromisingly. They're always looking for a way out, a loophole, a scapegoat. They're looking for something more palatable, false doctrine. This is the problem with Adam. Adam does not want to conform to the perfect will of God. He wants to come to a place that he's comfortable with regarding God, but he doesn't want to come full circle to where God would have him to be. And because of that, many are wasting valuable time regarding the things of the Lord. I want to go today to the book of Ecclesiastes. I want to read the entire chapter of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 because it is a chapter that evolves around this word called time. And today's program is entitled, Is It Time to Seek the Lord? Ecclesiastes 3, beginning at verse 1, To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. The word purpose there is very important. Romans 8:28 says, And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. It's all according to God's purpose. So to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. The purpose would be found in beginning in verse 2. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. I believe we're about to enter into those two times, the time of weeping and the time of mourning. A time to cast away stones. A time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, a time to loose. A time to keep, a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. I believe it's also a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. God is allowing hate and hatredness to pervade this land. A time of war. I believe God is suffering that time as well. And a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their hearts so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them but for a man to rejoice and do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor. It is the gift of God. I believe when you work hard, you should enjoy the fruit of your labor, because the Bible says it is the gift of God. People who are diligent, studious, industrial, people who pay a price to get ahead in life, God says it's your gift, and you should enjoy it. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment. I'm seeing that as well. That wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. So now wickedness is intermingled with righteousness, iniquity. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. That's exactly what I said yesterday. Man is either going to be a beast without God, or have God in his life, and have peace in the Holy Ghost. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they all have one breath, whether it be a cow or a man, a horse or a man, a rabbit or a man, they all have one breath. So that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. We may think we're smarter than animals, but we're really not. No, we're not nearly as smart as we think we are. Though we want to believe we're smarter than a donkey, we're smarter than this, we are smarter than that. Well, the truth is, we're just not as smart as creation is, because in Jeremiah 8:7, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. A stork knows when it's time to build a nest. The crane, they understand. The swallow, they understand the time. A rabbit will pull fur from her body and build a nest so she can have her little baby rabbits in her own fur. She'll pull fur from her body to prepare for that. So that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go unto one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to the dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? In other words, you're not going to come back and see how they took care of the estate you left them. You leave your goods behind. As I told my dentist friend the other day, I've never seen a hearse towing a U-Haul trailer behind it. Never. You don't take your estate with you. Somebody else gets it. Thus, you should enjoy the fruit of your labor. Is it time to seek the Lord? Solomon said there was a time for everything. I was reading today in Psalms 119, verse 126. The psalmist said, "It is time for thee, O Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law or thy word." It is time for God to begin to move in the world, and God is certainly going to pick up the pace in which he has been moving, and every one of us are going to be affected either in a positive way or either in a negative way. They have made void, they've disannulled, they've done away with the Word of God. I was reminiscing today about the election in 2012. We witnessed at the Democratic Convention, the Democratic Party denounced God. They embraced same-sex marriage and refused to acknowledge Jerusalem as Israel's capital. What they were saying was, "God, we're self-sufficient. Humanism is greater than theocracy. We have no need for you, God." But I want to tell you today, if there was ever a time for the people of God to get sincere with God, it is now. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9, "Lord, feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord?" Do you know who God is today? Or is God some myth, some deity out there in the universe that no man can know, no man can touch, no man can embrace? Or is he real? Can he abide and abode in the heart of a man? Yes, God does abide in the hearts of man. Many prophets have been raised up to speak to this nation. Many have spoken to the entirety of the world, but it seems to find no residence, no lodging place. America will perish due to the lack of God and a lack of seeking God and a lack of being obedient to the Word of God. The prophecy the Lord gave me 3 years ago this past September out of Proverbs chapter 1. Those of you that have that newsletter, I would encourage you to go back and find that, or you can find it on the internet. Just Google Pastor Langford Prophecy September 2012. What's going to happen? Proverbs 1 and 23 says, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." If men will simply repent when God reproves, when God rebukes, if men will turn to God and be sincere in repentance, God is a God of restoration. He is a God of redemption. He is a God of reconciliation. He's a God that's able to put back what is broken. But repentance is what initiates forgiveness. God does not pass out forgiveness cards to everyone. He only forgives when men repent and acknowledge their sin. That's why it's a dangerous state to live in, a state and place of perpetual sin. I believe God is gracious. I believe God is merciful. I believe God is exceedingly long-suffering and gives men great amounts of time to repent. But if they do not repent in that space that God has bestowed upon them, I believe God cuts them off. They pluck themselves out of the hand of God. Now, I know no man can pluck you out of God's hand, but you can. We have too many Bible scriptures that authenticate men who once walked with God and walked away from God. If you can't see that, you're blind as a bat. If you can't see Hymenaeus and Philetus and Alexander the coppersmith, Demetrius in 3 John, if you can't see Korah, Cain, and Abel, if you can't see that these men, Judas Iscariot, once walked with God, Adam and Eve, the first two, yet they lost what they had. You know why they lost it? God didn't take it from them. They disobeyed God. I said they disobeyed God, and because they disobeyed God, they lost what they had. Don't think you can't lose what God has given you. Any man is a fool to think he can't lose what he had. What about the woman that lost the coin? What about the prodigal son? Had he died in the hog pen eating husk with the pigs, you think he'd have still been saved? No. That's why he's called a prodigal. He came to his senses. Had he never come to his senses, he would have died in his sin. Satan doesn't want men ever coming to their senses, to the knowledge, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He doesn't want men coming to the knowledge of God, because the knowledge of God convicts men of their sin. Why do you think Paul said in Romans 1, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge? Why do men not like to retain God in their knowledge? Because the knowledge of God convicts men of their sins. Read it, Romans 1 and 20. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You have the ability to say, I don't want God. That's the trickery of the devil, is, well, I want to put God off till it's a convenient time for me. King Agrippa said to Paul, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian, Paul. Almost. Almost, but not today, not today. You see, I'm convinced we're either right or we're wrong. We're either in or we're either out. How long will you be halted between two opinions? Elijah said, how long will you be caught between two ideologies? Either God is God or Baal is God. What will it be, he said. Men must repent. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. God will show you his will, according to that verse in Proverbs 1 and 23. But here's the problem. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded it. What great grace that God would extend his hand to any of us. Stretching out his hand, just like he stretched his hand out toward Peter on the Galilean Sea as he was sinking. And he took Peter by the hand as Peter said, Lord, save me. He took Peter by the hand, pulled him up upon the briny waves of the Sea of Galilee, and walked him and put him in the boat. His question was, wherefore did you doubt? Why did you doubt me? Because I have called and ye refused. I remember as a boy being called to dinner. And I was busy. And I was doing something, and I didn't want to stop. But when my grandpa walked out the back door and whistled, my grandma, she done hollered at me and said, it's time to eat. And I didn't show up in the next 60 seconds or 2 minutes. My papa could whistle, and you could hear him for probably close to a mile. The keenest whistle I think I've ever, if you were standing beside of him, it would hurt your ears. His whistle was so keen. When I heard that, I knew I better get up and quit what I was doing and get to the dinner table. I knew that call. That was not Grandma's call. That was Papa's call. It was different. Because I have called and ye refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Do you realize how often God has stretched out his hand to this nation? And yet the people blaspheme, castigate, impinge, denigrate God Almighty and his most holy word. These God-haters. These God-haters. I talked to you last week about a nation divided. Today, in L.A., California, they shut down the school system because they thought that was the right thing to do. But the FBI said the threat was a hoax. And I thought, see how divided we are? That's why we can't stand. We won't stand. And this is not a political solution or answer. We need God. Now, I want to say this while this is on my heart. Wherever and whatever state you live in, when Franklin Graham goes to your state capitol to pray, I want you to go and support him. I don't know when he'll come to your state capitol, but he has made the statement, I'm going to every state capitol in the United States, and I'm going to pray at every state capitol. And wherever you live, if you live in California, you go to the state capitol and you pray with that man. You find out when he's coming to your capitol. Everyone listening to me, you find out when he's coming to your capitol and you go there and you stand with that man and you pray with that man. Now, I know in my heart I wouldn't agree theologically with everything he talks about, but that's all right. He says, let's pray, let's pray. Let's pray. We got second grade Christians. We got Christians that are PhDs. We're not all on the same level. None of us are on the same level. Spiritual maturity. We're all to grow in grace and in knowledge. But anybody that wants to pray, we need to pray with them. All of my friends, all of my supporters, whatever state you live in, when Franklin Graham shows up at your state capitol, you make it a point to be there with that man and say, I'm here to pray with you. I don't know how long you'll pray, but he is a man that understands this nation is going to hell in a handbasket. I'm so sick and tired of the criminality of this nation. This nation is so rotten, it stinks. This nation stinks to the hilt. This nation is worse than a cesspool. We're less than pond scum. We're pathetic, we are filthy, we are immoral, we are cheaters, we are liars, we are crooks. That's what represents this nation. I mean, I was thinking the other day, listening to the news, local news, murder, robbery. One local man was coming home from vacation, went into a rest area here in Concord, North Carolina, standing at a urinal and was shot in the back and paralyzed. Two black guys shot. He just stopped to use the bathroom, was shot in the back.
Now he's paralyzed from the waist down. And I was listening to the news, and I felt like I was being smothered with sin. I felt like I was gasping for breath. And I thought, my God, this goes on 24/7 around the entire world. It never ceases. What do you think God sees and how God feels right now? Now I know why God said, if I let you see the spiritual warfare, he said, you couldn't handle it. He said, if I let you hear the clanging, the banging, the crashing, and see the cinders and the sparks and what's taking place in the heavens, he said, your humanity could not fathom or handle it. It'd kill you. That was some years ago. I was walking up and down the highway praying, and God said, if I opened your eyes and let you see the warfare, your body, your mind, your humanity, you could not handle this. It's too great. This that I speak of does not cease when the sun goes down where you live. It's taking place on the other side of the world. The beheadings, the mutilation, prison camps, torture, adultery, fornication, sodomy, bestiality. It goes on 24/7. Think of what I'm saying. Think of what I'm saying. Just because the sun goes down and you're in the bed fast asleep at night, it's still going on. Hell is raging in its fury right now. And then people have the audacity to say, I think you preach too hard sometimes. Why don't you get the mind of God, get the heart of God, and you'll understand why I preach like I preach. That's why I loathe these milquetoast, tanny-waist, so-called preachers who won't say anything about anything, but just send me your money. We don't talk about money in this ministry. Either God provides or he doesn't provide. That's the bottom line. This raunchy, rancy, ranted, rancid sin, it goes on 24/7. It's like a machine. It's a machine out of hell. It's full of iniquity. It's full of wickedness. And it don't stop. It never ceases to run. It runs and runs and it runs and it mars and it maims and it mutilates. It eviscerates. It don't stop. It never stops. All sorts of reports all through the internet. I don't know if they're true or not. Steve Quell posted a video today of these hail cannons where they're welding frames to 20-pound propane tanks and shooting them out of cannons. You're going to wake up one morning and all hell is going to break loose on this nation. It's going to change. It's going to change suddenly. I don't know when that will be, but I do know the Bible says it will be sudden. Now, I know people think it won't be sudden, but the Bible tells me different. 1 Thessalonians 5:1, but of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come up as a thief in the night. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Sudden destruction. That's what the Bible says. Bible doesn't tell you you're going to be raptured out of here. But you're going to witness sudden destruction. We're not to be of the darkness, Paul said, that time of sudden destruction would take us as a thief. That day should overtake you as a thief. See, nobody knows when the thief is coming, but the child of God knows. Jesus said, had the watchman known in what watch the thief would have come, he would not have suffered his house to have been broken up. Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. It's amazing. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Matthew 24:43, but this know, that if the goodman of the house had known and what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Mark 13:37, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Watch. We're told to watch. Be sober, be vigilant. When you're seeking God, you're being diligent and vigilant. When you're not seeking God, you're caught up with the cares of this life. Luke 21:34, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts become of a charge with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares. Luke 21:36, watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Pray, call out to God. We need to travail like a woman in labor. Well, I don't think you have to pray like that. Get in the Spirit of God. You'll cry, you'll weep, you'll pray, you'll plead, you'll beg with God. Because it's going to come as travail upon a woman with child. I don't know what it means to have a baby. I don't know what it means to have the labor pains. But I have enough sense to realize, can you imagine when a woman is completely dilated and she's in the very last moments and throes of labor, how would she feel if that's the first labor pain that hit her? Not working up 1 centimeter, 2 centimeter, 3 centimeter, but full blast 10. That's what's going to happen to this nation. We're going to have effaced and thinned out to 10 centimeters. And bam, sudden destruction. Travail. And they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, you're not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. These panty-waist preachers are not preparing their congregations. Travail in the Greek literally means pains of labor, distress, great woe. Same as a woman experiencing childbirth. The cords or the snares of death, the Greek says. Paul said, if a woman's living right, she'll be spared in childbearing. Many women die in childbearing. That's how great the travail. The pain. I believe personally, now, as I said, I'm not a woman, I don't know, but I believe it's the pain that kills her. It's not the actual partitioning, but the pain. The pain is so great. That's the kind of pain is going to hit this nation. And there'll be no epidural to put in the spine to negate the pain. The Holy Ghost is the epidural. The Holy Ghost is the painkiller. The Holy Ghost is the comforter. You're not going to find it anywhere else. It's so sad. It is so sad to know in your spirit, the gravity of the hour, and yet to witness the lackadaisical, complacency, apathetic tendency of the so-called preachers and watchmen. Let me get back to Proverbs 1:25. But you have set it on all my counsel, and with none of my reproof. I know I'm reproving. That's my job. 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing in kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. My job is to preach the word of God, to reprove and to rebuke. And I'm not to ask you, do you like it? I'm told, I'm charged to just preach the word in season and out of season. You set it on all my counsel, and with none of my reproof. You wouldn't have it. There are those who've tried to coerce people to listen to this broadcast. They listen one time and they're done. I'm not listening to that. I'm not listening to that kind of preaching. No, sirree, I don't want to hear that. You don't like the word is your problem. You want a pacifist for a Savior. Well, you don't have a pacifist for a Savior. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and when he returns, he will rule with a rod of iron. Is that a pacifist with a rod of iron in his hand? I don't think so. I get so tired of people making Jesus Christ a limp-wristed faggot. Scorsese and all those other producers' movie make him a sodomite, an adulterer. How disgusting. He was a man's man. He was a man's man. Nobody could endure the brutal beating that he endured. And then, at his own volition, he gave up the ghost and said, it's finished. Any other man would have died before he got to the cross. Not my Lord. He was given the Spirit of God without measure, John said in John 3:34. You couldn't measure the enormity of the Holy Ghost in his life. But that's what they want you to believe. He's a sodomite. Having his little affairs with Peter and James and John, they feign him that. God have mercy on their souls at the judgment seat of Christ. The great white throne judgment. When God will... See, God has all the time in eternity to play the video of their lies, of their mockery. There'll be no compassion at the great white throne judgment. If you believe that, you're more deceived. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. I mean, we want this thing so shaded and so gray. But that's not how it's going to be, folks. You need to read your Bible. He severs with a two-edged sword. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he will tread the winepress, the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. You don't want to mess with him. No, sir, you need to be seeking God and prostrating yourself and humbling yourself, because you're going to be poured out like water one way or the other. You need to pour all of yourself out and say, Lord, fill me now with your spirit and with your holy presence. Get all of self out. Get all of self out. Get all of self out and get all of God you can get in. You've said it not all my counsel. He said it with none of my reproof. You didn't want me to tell you the truth. You didn't want the scolding. Reminds me of these parents. I'm going to take away your video game. You take time out, go stand in the corner. Yeah, we need some good old leather straps on some hides today and let them realize what the real truth is. Time out. You got to be kidding me. That's why we have such militant teenagers today. The rebellion is sickening. Sickening. Rebellion against authority. I'm not stupid. If I get pulled over, I'm going to say yes, sir, and no, sir. And I'm going to be asking God that that man will show me mercy, not write me a ticket, much less take a billy club and beat my brains out, put handcuffs on me, and haul me away because I'm stupid. This is the problem. Nobody wants any authority in their lives. They want to be Lord of all. And none of us have a kingdom, but yet we want to be a Lord. That's right. We want to be a Lord. We want to be an authority figure. We are nothing. Do you hear me? We're nothing. Paul said, in him we live and move and have our being. Your next breath comes from God. Here's the tragedy of all of this. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. You got to understand who's speaking here. This is the spirit of wisdom. This is the spirit of wisdom. There are seven spirits of God. I won't get into all of that today. I probably shouldn't even make that statement right now. But nevertheless, this is the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom is talking to us. In all of your understanding, get wisdom. We're told to get wisdom, get wisdom, get wisdom. Now, wisdom's talking to us here in Proverbs chapter 1. But you know the problem with people today? I don't want to hear that wisdom stuff. I don't reprove me. Don't rebuke me. Talk to the hand, not the face. We all better sit on our hands and shut our mouths and say, God, help me. Every one of us have room for growth. Every one of us have room for improvement. Every one of us have room to mature in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. But are we willing to grow? Are we willing to listen? Are we willing to mature? Or are we not? You see, this is a very, very dangerous, dangerous time. This is a very, very dangerous time. As I said some weeks ago, I don't know what happened. I don't know if there's been a delay or what. I don't know whether God's allowing this to be like an effervescence and grow and grow and grow and explode on us. I don't know. That's why you don't put new wine in old wineskins, Jesus said. The old wineskin can't handle the effervescence. It will explode and you'll lose both the skin and the wine. You can't do that. And I'm not so sure right now. I'm not so sure right now that there's not something going on that's seething. It's a seething pot. It's 211 degrees. It's not 212. It's 211. We're just one degree away. One degree away from boiling. I will laugh at your calamity. This is wisdom. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. It's going to come out of nowhere. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. It's going to come, as I said, sudden destruction. The cup of God's fury and indignation with his people is reaching a spilling over point. It's reaching a spilling over point. Once it reaches that point, it is too late. When God begins to vent, nobody, no man can stop God. Here's the tragedy. Then men will repent. Here's the problem. It's too late. It's too late. We all have witnessed circumstances, situations, whether some teenager driving a car killed somebody, somebody drunk killed somebody, a gun accidentally went off and they killed somebody. The theme, the motif is the same. I did not mean for that to happen, but it's too late. This will be the motif. I did not mean for that to happen. I did not mean for it to get this bad. When your fear cometh, now think about this, there's going to be such fear and anxiety that there's not enough psychotic drugs to wipe away the fear and the anxiety that's going to come. And it comes with desolation. It comes with destruction as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. This is prophetically the last days. Luke 21:25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations. You see the parallel? When distress and anguish cometh upon you and distress of nations, Jesus said. It all jointly fits together. It all is synchronous. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. That's one of the most horrifying statements you'll ever read in the Word of God. But I will not answer. Isaiah 55, verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. See, now is the time to seek God while he's in the pardoning mode and mood. But once that pardoning spirit has been removed, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early. In other words, when all hell initially breaks forth, you're going to hear, oh my God, oh my God, God have mercy, God help us. They'll call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me early. They shall not find me. That's the antithesis of Deuteronomy 4:29. When you seek me with all of your heart, then shall you find me. For that they hated knowledge. If I've ever preached a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom, it's today. You say, well, I want God to tell it to me. You're that special. You're that special that you have to have God to tell you whether it's right or wrong or whether what I'm preaching is the truth. God has a system, and it's called preachers. Now, I know there's charlatans out there. I'd be derelict. I'd be remiss. I'd be a liar if I said that God is not going to use preachers. God uses preachers. I don't care how many lying, two-faced, shifty, shafty charlatans the devil raises up. God's still going to use preachers, according to Romans 10 and 14. How shall they call upon me in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Just this past week, somebody accused me of being the biggest charlatan, liar, cheat you've ever seen in your life. That man's soul is damned for hell for accusing me of all sorts of false stuff. I'm an open book. I have nothing to hide. I'm just an old country preacher preaching the word of God. Love me or like me or hate me, it doesn't matter to me. I'm not in a popularity contest. But just 3 days before, the brother says, I'm your armor bearer. I'm praying for you. You've affected my life. You changed my life. And then 3 days later, he's stabbing me with a dagger. Same preacher. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. I'm the same man I was when the man loved me and appreciated the messages of God. But now he says he gets a word from God. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, and let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. You're not getting anything from God, sir. It's out of your own vain thoughts. Because God doesn't deal and work in double-mindedness. That's not the kind of God I serve. He's not yea today and nay tomorrow. Let everything be yea and amen. That's what you deal with today. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. It's a dangerous thing to listen to somebody like me preach this much Bible. I don't say that arrogantly or that I'm somebody. You'd be better off to never hear all of this. For to hear it and then throw it to the side, you're compounding your issues with God. To whom much is given, much is required. A man will only be judged for what he knows. And that's why I try to preach as pure a word as I can possibly preach. I mean, I get attacked all the time to be drawn into great controversy. I mean, it's amazing. Why don't people just fall in love with God's word? Just fall in love with the word of God. No, they hated knowledge. I just shared with you in Romans 1 and 28 how that they did not retain God in their knowledge, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind. When you hate knowledge, now you have to embrace the reprobate mind. And did not choose the fear of the Lord. You see, fear is a powerful element when it comes to God. I don't have any fear of men. Zero, nada, nilch. I don't fear when I get these derogatory statements, these guys who say they've not heard from God, they're idiots. If it was from God, I would get a witness. The witness I get is it's a lie out of hell. That's the witness I get. They hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. When somebody's trying to tell you how to do it right and you say, no, I'm not going that way, you're a fool in the eyes of God. You despise wisdom. You despise instruction. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Let's go back, Proverbs 1:25. But ye have said it on all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. You hear, but you don't respond correctly. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Prosperity is destroying many, many today. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Now, I'm going to tell you that there's only one storm. If you understand Matthew chapter 7, one man builds on the rock, the other man builds on sand. There's only one storm. It's just how you built your house. You see, these people that tell you you're going to be raptured out of here, no, that's a lie. You're not going to be raptured out of here. You're going through the same storm I'm going through. And don't hand me that garbage. Well, if thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. I believe the word of God. I choose to believe truth and not error nor a lie. That's a choice. Matthew 22:29. Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. That's why you live in stupidity, because you don't know the scriptures. You don't know the scriptures. Every one of us should be bathing our minds in the word of the Lord, because the word of God keeps us clean. Psalms 119:9. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You keep the word of God in you, it'll cleanse you. That's how you cleanse yourself. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 5:26, that it might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word of God. That word of God will keep you clean, because God's word is pure. Psalms 119:160, thy word was true. Thy word was pure from the beginning, the psalmist said. It's always been pure. It's always been true. And who's going to see God? Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The word of God will keep you pure. See, but you got to live it. You have to live the word of the Lord in your life. You can't be just a professor. You have to be a possessor. It is time, my friend, to seek the Lord. I don't know what tomorrow may bring forth. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. There's something going on. There's something like leaven, and everything is being leavened. Paul said in Galatians 5:9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. We've allowed leaven in this nation in the last 7 years as never before, and everything is being leavened. Sin. Sin. It's taking its toll. And it's not because of education or lack of it. As I said yesterday, I'm tired of re-education and legislation. We need redemption, sanctification, and justification. That's what we need. That'll change us and make us what we ought to be for the glory of God. God bless you. Have a great week. God willing, I'll be back here Monday, as always, to preach an uncompromising message from his most holy word. When heaven and earth has passed away, the word of God will still be standing.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to the Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.